We are back with another car cast.
Yeah, so we're driving today, and you might hear our kids. I don't know. They might behave. You never know with them.
Probably not. But, yeah, we wanted to check in. We have a long drive that we're doing right now, so what better way to pass the time than to talk about farm stuff, which is what we had already been doing. We were like, let's just go ahead and record this.
Yeah, we got, it's not a terribly long car ride, but, doing some family stuff today, and, we've got a lot of things coming up. Of course, my wife is holding on to the car right now.
It's a little stressful, but that's okay. I'm sure everyone can relate to husbands driving. Can we start off with the garden, since that's what we were literally just talking about?
Yeah, we can. I mean, I was just asking you a couple questions about what was going on with it, so I guess you can explain to everybody how your garden's doing, what crops we're getting now, what's slowing down, the temperature, just, I guess, an overall feel for the vegetable life right now.
Vegetable life is going pretty well. We are in like that peak summer lull right now. A lot of plants don't super love the excruciating burning peak heat of summer. Like the tomatoes are kind of slowing down. The cucumbers are definitely slowing down. The peppers are doing good, but we're kind of in that, there's like a, I don't know how to describe it other than like kind of a peak tomato time. Like that was a couple weeks ago where we got a huge influx of tomatoes, and that was amazing and awesome. And I even froze some, and we saved some, thankfully, which had been a big goal of mine. And now it's kind of in not as good production, but still getting some. And then once it cools down a little bit, like end of August, beginning of September, we'll get another big bump. And I am replanting stuff. So I have rooted a lot of the suckers from the tomatoes and replanted those. So those are starting to flower now and set fruit. So again, that'll kind of go hand in hand with the second big tomato blowout that we're going to get later. So I'm really excited about that. Like always, I've really struggled with preserving everything. That's a big weakness of mine, but luckily
I've been on your
yeah.
butt about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is annoying, but I'm thankful for it because I get it done. And you get this huge abundance and there's so many tomatoes. And then when you finally like chop them and process them, like we ended up getting like two little packages of chopped tomatoes, and it just feels like you should have so much more, but that's how it goes. And we're heading on, but garden's going pretty well. Like I said, it's been terribly hot. I feel like it's been the perfect amount of rainy. Like it's rained like 3 out of the past like 10 days, and I feel like that's the perfect amount of rain, but you have disagreed.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just a little tired of the rain because it's so hot, and so it's like I don't want to wear my, like, you know, my good muck boots because they get so hot and rub on my legs. And then, so basically, I like wear these, they're like my fishing shoes, and like they can get wet and all that stuff. But with there being so much rain and the pasture so thick now, and the water, you don't even know where the water is, so you end up getting just like your feet are just soaked when you come in. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's fine, but after a certain amount of days, you get tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But the garden's loving it. We're doing really great. We've had a lot of ground cherries too, which are like kind of a little berry, and I'm really happy about that. And our pumpkin patch doing really well. A lot of pumpkins are ready, which isn't ideal, but
we should make a pie this week.
Yeah, we should. We should have like a fake out fall dinner, like pumpkin pie and chili. We've been talking about making chili, but
I want to do a lamb roast.
Yeah,
because I get that big rack that I keep looking at every day and open the freezer.
True. Yeah, so pumpkin pie will be on the menu. Maybe early jack-o'-lantern carving. Hopefully, we'll have some ready for October. Like, I don't know how people are able to stagger it. Maybe I just should have planted them later. I was just hoping that they'd be ready by Halloween. I didn't think they'd be ready this early, but there's a lot more on the vine. I'm hopeful.
On the vine.
And now for that, it's probably too late to replant because they take so long to grow and ripen and stuff, which is a bummer. But next year, I'll alter it and figure it out. But I'm happy with that.
Well, we learn new things every year in the garden. Mm-hmm. So I miss my garden, but maybe by next... I'm hoping next year I'll have my garden back up and running.
Yes, and I've even kind of taken over. His garden has been taken over. And I actually had even planned to do more, but I just haven't had the time. But I've planted a few of my tomato suckers in there because I ran out of room. So there's a couple tomatoes in his big garden. And I really wanted to put like a permanent herb garden there because it's so hard to get to the big garden like at night and dinner time to pluck stuff because it's kind of far away from the house. So I would really love a better herb garden right close to the house. So that's on my list of things to do, but realistically it's probably not going to get done because we just
it could be a goal for next year.
Yeah,
because you know my goal is to have all the chickens and stuff out of my thing, and
yeah,
who knows, I just want to get my corn and maybe try potatoes again. Mm-hmm. See if whatever was in the soil is gone. Or at this point, I mean, they tell you to wait how many years?
Like 3 or something. I mean, but that's what they say with squash bugs, too. And, like, no one does that. Yeah. And, well, we have a couple volunteer potatoes in the garden that we realize. So, we'll get a little harvest, maybe. We'll at least see if, you know, how they look.
Yeah. I don't even know where they are. Y'all have to show me because it's just so overgrown in there.
Yeah. 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 It's a little overgrown, but the baby chickens that had been in it, we had moved the Americanas and my Moran into that little coop in his garden bed, and
we're protecting them though.
We are, because that's where our predator attack had been. So the timing actually turned out terribly with it, because if you remember from our previous podcasts, the predator ended up never coming back, or hasn't come back yet, because the electric fence had been in the back and we think it was blocking that animal from coming. And now, of course, once we put the animals up front, it was time to expand the little coop for the little chickens, just because they're so big and they couldn't fit where we had them, and it was just overdue time. So they're fine right now. I'm just really making sure to be on top of the security of the little run that they have and lock them up at night, because that was one thing that I hadn't been doing. I got really lax with that, and we just didn't.
Well, we never had an issue.
Yeah,
with anything.
True.
And we still, I mean, we're pretty sure it was a raccoon, but then throw a wrench in it. 2 weeks ago or a week ago, I was moving one of the chicken tractors, and a red fox.
Oh yeah.
Was all of a sudden running down the road. And I mean, he was acting kind of weird. I don't know if he was hiding around and I spooked him out of there, or if it's just a coincidence that I just happened to be there while he ran by. But, yeah. And, like, so he was teetering on. So, one of our roads, on one side, there's coyotes. And, like, general rule of thumb is when you have a lot of coyotes, and there's a lot of coyotes over there, you don't have foxes with them because they run them all out. And that's what we've always noticed behind the road, which is our house. So, in the back of our property, I've picked up fox on camera before. I know I got a bunch of raccoons back there and a couple possum. But then across the road is the big coyote population, which I really hope that they never try to come over here. But we have electric on all our bigger animals. Mm-hmm. So, and I've heard it work on the we used to have feral cats everywhere. I've heard them at night touch that fence. So, it'll work.
Yeah.
No, it works. But, yeah, so the predator never came back, but we don't have the fence there right now. But that also gives me hope that maybe once the final pig situation is set up, that could deter whatever predators that was, probably raccoons, from coming back up in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah, do we want to talk about the pig situation?
I mean, there's not much to say. Just it got backed up a couple weeks. The guy that we're getting them from, like, there, I guess there, there's a situation that went down, but he said that he'll have our stuff ready for October, so I'm getting in the mindset, making sure I got all my money set off to the side, and then I still have to get in there. I still have to get in there and do the hard fence, which is the backup fence, and then I just ordered the electric fence because it came back in stock. And these fences, when they come in stock, like 30 minutes later, they're sold out again. So it's like, I really didn't want to spend the money to do it right now. I was hoping to wait a little bit longer, but couldn't wait longer.
Do we think that shortage is because so many new people are starting to homestead and raise their own animals?
I don't know. It's just a hot commodity product, I feel like. My buddy Nixon would say it's a microchip shortage.
What does that mean?
You haven't heard about all, like, the microchip shortages?
No.
Like, that's why, like, cars are more expensive right now. Okay. Never mind. It's the microchip shortage. there are a lot of people, I guess, trying to. I don't know what they're doing. But it just seems like it's a hot commodity item. I mean, it's great. I like it. I mean, we'll see how many seasons we get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll have to, like, repair them here and there. But, even if they are not working 100%, they're still effective.
Right.
You know, when it comes to electricity, it's not a physical barrier for the animals. It's psychological. And once they have in their mind that if they touch that fence, like, they're going to get blasted. As far as sheep and cows go, they don't really test it anymore.
Did you end up getting, wasn't there a specific kind of pig electric fence?
There was a hog one, but it wasn't the best bang for your buck, so I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I got the ones that we use, which is a little overkill. And, yeah, I mean, we're going to have to do, like, the one thing I'm going to have to do in, because these are going in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to really be, like, cutting things down.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see how it's going to go. I'm going to use a lot of trees to my advantage in there.
Yeah,
that's my plan.
For sure. Are we going to get, like, a pig hut for them? Like,
yeah, we'll probably build something, but probably just really for, so we're getting 6 pigs total, right? Our 2 breeders and our 4 feeders. Well, as they grow up, the first time, it's like, I don't know. Like, they're not going to be separated at first, right? Because we know which ones, they're going to be marked, which ones are going bye-bye, and the ones that are staying. Now, once we butcher the ones that are getting butchered, then we'll only have 2 left. Mm-hmm. And that's when we should build, you know, whatever kind of house or whatever. Because then, when they have their piglets, once they're ready to be, like, you know, weaned, or when they have the piglets, I'm going to send the male over into a different area.
Right.
And then his area, you know, when the piglets are ready to be weaned off, the piglets will shoot over to that area, and he'll go back in with the sow.
Yeah.
And so it'll just keep flip-flopping. And the side where the feeder pigs are on, it's like, do you really want to, like, build a bunch of stuff for them? They're pasture pig, but, I mean, they're wooded pigs. They got, you know, their cover is the trees. They're not going to get sunburned because they're in the trees.
I was just thinking more for, like, winter time.
Yeah.
I mean, not like we get hardly any snow. We didn't even get any snow last year. Mallory, our daughter, has never seen snow before.
Yeah. I mean, so to answer your question, we're going to build something for the breeders, but it's not super high priority yet.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But it will be. It'll be just like the sheep, right? Mm-hmm. We used to never have anything for them. And then with all the rain and how cold it is and them lambing all at the same time, we decided that we needed to have something for them.
Yeah.
And that's something that we're going to have to build again this year. Mm-hmm. But I got a good idea how I want to do it. So.
Good. Good. And the sheep are doing well. Hopefully they're all getting pregnant. In the past, maybe I've just been able to pay attention more, but, like, in the past, I could, like, it is clear as day when the ram is mating, like, you know, like,
just interested.
Like, yeah, like, you know, pretty much, I used to know, like, be able to predict when the birth would be, because I would see it happening, and for some reason, I have not seen it at all.
I've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so when...
I've seen a lot of checking out.
Yeah.
I saw him follow Goaty forever, then I saw him follow Blacktop forever, and then I think maybe Denise was also mixed in there.
Okay.
And they look a little different right now. Like,
okay. Okay. Well,
not like pregnant, but I mean, they look like they're like, you know what I mean? Would be in standing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
So.
Yeah. I just don't know when, are we predicting?
I think it'll be just like last year. I think that it'll be late December for some and then January for some more. And then I couldn't tell you at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
If our new ones are going to be moms, then they'll probably birth in February. But then we're going to pluck the ram out, or at least separate them.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. So. I don't know why I had it in my head now that we're doing more of a timing thing with the ram. I had it in my head that they would all, like, give birth in, like, the same 2 weeks. But I guess, I mean, obviously now I'm understanding it depends on their personal heat cycle.
And, yeah.
Because it has been, like, almost a weird, like, monogamous situation where it's, like, a few weeks... I don't know. For some reason, it's different than I expected, and I don't know why. It's, like, our fifth year doing it or whatever.
Yeah, and if we're going to really expand next year, especially if the one-year-olds have... Well, I guess they'll be, like, 9 months old. The 9 months old have babies, then we're really going to expand. Because yeah. We added... Well, how many females did we add this year? 4?
Oh, I cannot keep track. I don't even know.
We have the 2 twins from Denise and the 2 twins from Blacktop. And those were the only females, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because Goaty had a male. Denise had the 2... I already said Denise. Dot. I'm sorry. Dot had Chief. And then who had the twins? One of the smaller ones had the twin boys.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ones that needed to get wormed. Or yeah. I assume needed.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. It could be one. Or it could be a lamb when we get home. You don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited. I always love lambing.
Lambing season is fun, but it's cold and a lot of times it's wet. And we could always switch it up, but I don't know. I always heard that it's a lot easier on them to have a lamb in the cold.
Yeah.
So, that's what we do.
Yep.
So, yeah.
What else is there to talk about?
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that we could talk about. Like, our plans for next year. Or we could get into the business side of things. And how we're running our, you know, the business. And, you know, customer stuff that we're noticing. There's all kinds of stuff.
I want to talk about business. Because I'm interested in that.
Business.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to talk about business.
I don't know.
So, we were supposed to do chickens today.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not happening. earlier this week, I made the decision that I thought that the chickens just didn't look full out yet. And I think that was because we had a week, really, of just, like, unbearable heat. Mm-hmm. And I think it really stunned them. I noticed them eating a lot less food, and none of them died or anything like that. Nobody looks sickly. They're not where I've come to expect them to be. And if you're gonna have a product come out, like, you want my goal when I make sales is to get repeat customers, right? And if you sell somebody a really good product the first time, and then they talk about it and they're really happy about it, and then they come back and their friend comes back, or a friend comes for the first time too, and they all buy stuff again. And then, let's say I gave them 5-pound chickens last time, and they're really happy about it. And then this time, the best I can do is like 3-pound chickens. Like, that's not going to look good for the business. Like,
yeah, definitely. We want more consistency. And I know it's, you know, one thing that we've had to talk about a lot is that balance between, like, like, if I were a customer and just as a consumer in general, I would want a bigger bird, even if it means paying more money. But a lot of people aren't really experienced in the process of buying, like, a farm-raised chicken, and already it probably seems really expensive to them. So we do actually have people who request the smaller birds because they're cheaper. So you do, you know, we don't want these gigantic,
you don't want, like, 8-pound birds. It's going to cost you
$40. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. But just in my personal preference would be, like, a bigger bird, because if it's a smaller bird, I would feel like I would have to buy two. Like, I'm thinking of, like, chicken breasts. Like, obviously, only 2 chicken breasts come on each chicken. So if I buy, you know, a small chicken and I have, you know, we have the breasts for dinner, I'm like, wow, that really wasn't enough. Next time I'm going to have to double up and buy 2. Like, as a consumer, I would rather just get a bigger one. But I know that also, I guess, goes into the business side. That wouldn't be as profitable for us. But we don't really, that's not something that we really care about, I guess.
About the profit? I mean, I care about the profit,
yeah. But I mean, we're not, like, trying to get, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like that came off really, like, ooh, if we sell them smaller ones, and maybe they'll buy 2. Like, that's not what I meant. I was just thinking, no, as a consumer, that's what would be going through my mind.
Yeah, and I mean, I have a very realistic goal with my birds now. Like, it's like, I'm happy if the average is, like, 4.5 pounds, 4.25 pounds. Like, if that's my average, like, I'm good with it. Like, that's a good bird.
Yeah.
There's that cop right there. Yeah, like, that's a good bird. And it's just so crazy to me. Like, I know that I posted, spoiler alert, that was me, that posted that documentary. And yeah. I know, I guess it's from 2008, but, like, YouTube bought the rights to it a couple months ago and put it up. And I think I've seen parts of it before, but I really sat down and watched it now that we, like, run a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the disconnect between people and the food that they, and you eat food all day long.
Yeah.
Like you gotta think about all the craziness that goes into food production. And, you know, it's, people ask me, well, you know, your chicken's $4 a pound, but I could get it for, like, you know, half that at the store. And it's like, yeah, you can get it for half that at the store, but it's the conditions that they're raised in, the style that they raised all these birds in. And it's like, you really want to put that, like, in your family's, like, bodies, like, all day long, like, to eat? Like, because I don't.
Yeah, and I had watched it before, but I rewatched it again, and it is, it's really motivating. Yeah, buddy. It's just really invigorating and really motivating, because you do forget, and seeing a lot of things, like seeing the chicken houses that stuff is raised in, and even, like, the processing plants. You know, there's the part where it's just kind of comparing home butchery, kind of like we do.
Well, it's a really famous guy, Joel Salatin,
yeah.
And he talks about how the USDA is trying to shut him down for doing his chicken butchery stuff outside. And he sent off, like, I guess one of his chickens and then one of the store-bought chickens to one of the local universities. And they did a bacteria test on it. And his, I'm not sure what scale it is they use, but anyway, his read, like, 133 or 136. And the store-bought chicken bacteria level was 3,600. And they dip their chickens in chlorine water.
Yeah.
So it's like the big plants literally dip their chickens in chlorine water and score a higher bacteria contaminant, exponentially higher.
Insane, yeah.
And then you do it at home and it's way less, and you don't do any of those things, but you just, it's common sense, like, for when you're handling food, like, when you're butchering somebody's chicken. It's just common sense about a lot of things, how you handle it and the temperature, and there's things you got to be mindful of, you know. But any food that we sell or it comes off our farm is, like, I would sit there and eat it with you in a heartbeat, or you can come over to our house and have dinner with us, and that's what we're going to eat. Like, I am very meticulous about things. I'll throw away food that a lot of people wouldn't. Just if I don't feel 100% confident, I'm not sending it out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, to watch that documentary and talking about how with the subsidies, it's these big plants like Tyson and stuff who are raising these chickens, they can literally buy corn to feed the chickens at less of a price than it takes to even produce it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's why the store-bought chicken is so cheap, compared to mine. I don't get that benefit.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to go buy my feed, and I've got to pay the money for it. I don't get it at cost or less than cost.
Right.
Like, all our feed, and we strive on this too, all our feed is all locally sourced from the local farmers at the local grain mills, and that's how we operate it. So everything is local, you know, for as much as we can get it.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. I really, really do.
Yeah. It's just, that documentary just mind-blowing. Crazy. Like, when you think about the ground beef and fast food.
No, and it sucks because, like, you do have to, like, have blinders on, you know, because it's, as much as, like, I would love to be 100%, like, fed off of our farm and, like, know 100% of our food comes from it. Like, there, it's, like, I like to go out to eat. Like, like, in my life, I will eat a lot of food that is not necessarily from our farm. So, I do sometimes feel like you have to put on blinders and, like, not everything can be perfect. But, yeah, it definitely is a terrible reminder about how disgusting it is. Like,
yeah. And the hard part is that, like, they've made it so hard in our country to, like, go anywhere. Like, how do you go out for the day? Like, what are you going to eat? Like, unless you're packing coolers with all your lunches, which, I mean, that's what they did in the old days.
Yeah.
And that's almost like, I feel like I want to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard, too.
And now, like, culturally and socially, everything does revolve around food. Like, even with my friends, whenever I get together with them, it's usually, let's eat dinner. Let's do the, you know, like, it's always, like,
you're the weirdo if you show up.
Like, with my lunchbox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you go to a beach day and people are like, oh, we're going to go get some whatever after this. And you're like, well, we were just going to eat here on the beach with this big cooler of our own farm-raised food. And it's like, you're the weirdo, then.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man, I miss going to the beach with the Phelps. And it was, that vacation was so fun because we did, like, each bring stuff from our farm and we ate so well. Like, yeah.
Well, even down there, though, like, and this is a whole other controversial thing that I see some people posting about. Even down there, though, like, eating, like, the locally caught seafood is pretty much what we ate when we went out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no farm, you know, doing the mahi stuff or, you know, tuna or...
Right.
So everything that is a little bit different, but, like, yeah, it's hard. And, like, going out to eat, like if you think that, like, Applebee's is sourcing, like, like, you know what I mean? Like, local fresh farm beef and stuff like that. Like, it's not reason, and it's no knock on them.
Yeah.
It's just they're running a business, too, and they can't afford... a chain business can't afford to do that kind of stuff. So I don't know, in a different world, if where money isn't a thing, I would just love to eventually have a giant farm with a butcher and a steakhouse associated with it. That I run all of it.
I know.
And like all the meat comes from our farm.
That would be the dream.
It would. And I mean, maybe one day, you know.
Maybe one day, yeah.
It's just one piece at a time, and we're plugging in another piece. Yeah. Next year, my plan is to expand on the beef. The pigs and the sheep will expand on their own. That's not going to cost anything. But we still, I don't know how much we've talked about this, we don't breed our own cattle.
Yeah, and that's a hard stop. No, I do.
It's a hard stop, not because we're not up for it. It's a hard stop because we don't have the land for it.
We
like, the rotational grazing
is
great,
and they only have, like, I don't know, it would just be too much. That's just...
I mean, one day. I'd like, you know, one day I'd like to get there. But.
One day. I mean,
But yeah, just, it's not in the cards right now. Or, really, it's not in the cards in the near future, either. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, the hard stop, like I said, is the land. I don't know what it is for you, but for me, that's what it is.
I mean, I think just for some reason, maybe I'm thinking about it in too much of, like, a horse way, but, like, I'm just imagining so much more assistance with the births, and there's so much riding on it because they're only going to have, like,
one.
Like, I feel like twins is more of a rarity, and that's a lot of my, like, that's going to be a big income thing. Like, that's, you know, if we're talking about the business, like,
I mean,
the beef.
Our other friend's farm, he doesn't assist their birthings. They're fine.
I forgot really they good. Breed their own. Yeah, that's true. Own. Well, I don't know. For right now, I guess I just can't even. Oh, speaking of sheep, we're just passing a sheep farm right now. But those look like wool sheep.
Yeah, they do look like wool sheep.
and they don't rotationally graze. I can't think about it. Even where we are right now is leaps and bounds further than I ever thought we actually would. Maybe not leaps and bounds further than we ever would, but I wouldn't have imagined that we would be doing this for profit with the amount of animals we have.
Yeah.
Like, at this point in our life. I mean, it's really amazing.
Yeah. And it's so funny. I don't know if my dad listens to the podcast at all, but, like, you know, we're going to a family event today, and we do like to, like, bring stuff for our families. And of course, we forgot to bring eggs.
The eggs? Oh, it's so hard to remember sometimes.
But anyway, so my dad was like, you know, hey, don't worry about bringing any, you know, any, like, farm products other than eggs. Yes, we bring eggs.
Yeah.
He's like, because, you know, it'll probably just end up going to waste, because, you know, we're going to my grandpa's house. And
yeah,
really,
to Nate's
really
grandpa,
old.
Troy's great-grandpa.
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's, you know, it's fine and dandy that you tell me that, but the demand for our farm products, I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I sell out. Like, it's like, when I sell out, I sell out. And yeah. We like oversold that first batch. I wanted to keep more birds.
Yeah.
And we didn't keep but like two birds for us. Other than that, my freezer's the poultry freezer's empty.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, we are gonna have to cut down on like the gift giving with it, since we are trying to move into a more sustainable.
Well, so the gift giving part, it's like, I'll give a gift away. You might get a free chicken. You might get two free chicken. But it's all, and this is the business side of things for me, it's all strategically based. Like, I'm giving you this for free because, in my mind, I'm pretty, like, I know you're going to love it, number one, and I know that you're going to tell people about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking more about, like, with our family.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, we gave them stuff
usually whenever
for free.
We go to, like, cookouts and, like, just family events and just kind of everything that you bring a dish, we always bring, you
our
know.
Own dish.
And usually it's really nice stuff, and not to sound bratty, not a lot of people, like, understand how expensive technically it is. Like, I just feel like no one around it, which is fine, and that's not the issue. But we are going to have to cut. I mean, for holidays and stuff, that's totally different.
Yeah.
But, like, for, like, a Saturday cookout
well,
with friends,
like my,
we might
like
not.
My mom and Kemp understand,
yeah.
Especially when I bring like nice seafood over there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kemp knows.
Yeah.
That's my stepdad, by the way. So yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of repeat customers right now, which is what I wanted. Orders from said repeat customers, quantity has gone up. This is another thing that I wanted.
Yeah.
We're running low on things to sell.
Yeah.
Really. So we have this batch of chickens. Like I said, we were supposed to do it today. We're doing it next week. There's only three available that I'm willing to reserve. And then I could maybe sell a little bit more, but I probably won't, because we'll keep it for us. And then we have, what, two more chicken batches after that, and one lamb, and that's it for this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we got our last batch of meat birds in the mail a couple days ago.
Yeah, on Thursday. And then next year, so we have a lot of experiments that we're going to have going on. Sorry, our daughter is not happy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's a long car drive.
Do you want to pause it?
Yeah. We're back. We were talking about
upcoming chicken changes, which is a lot of experiments. So we're still sticking with our experiment to do the Plymouth Rocks with dark Cornish, but now we have a lead on some white Cornishes. So we're gonna go ahead and get some of them from this lady. and see what exactly they are and go from there.
I know, you say that so casually as if it's not like we just found the Holy Grail, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, but you never know. You don't know what she actually has or anything like that, so...
Yeah, it's hard because even a lot of people that sell just don't know a lot about chickens and are not really trustworthy.
Yeah, they don't know or they don't care. But the pictures that she sent me match the pictures I looked at online. I don't know. I've seen them advertised a whole bunch of different ways. Who knows? We'll do it. We'll cross these breeds and see what exactly happens.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about it all. I think it'll be a really fun few projects that we're doing, but I am, oh my goodness, car rides are super fun with kids, if anyone didn't know that, but I'm worried about the amount, like, what are we going to do for meat chickens, because it's not like we're going to, oh my goodness, all right, hold on. All right, we are back again. I've probably edited this down, but we've had to start and stop like 5 times because of the kids crying. We are now on our way home, and they are both asleep.
Well, one's asleep.
One's asleep.
Sure.
The other one's quiet, so.
Yeah.
Okay, for the 100th time, we were talking about...
The chicken...
New chicken plans.
For next year, really.
Yeah.
So we have a couple things we needed to figure out as far as the housing predicaments for them, mm-hmm. building some new coops, which was stuff that we had known that we were going to need to do this year.
But now with the additional chickens that we have, like now that we possibly have white Cornish, we already have the dark Cornish, we have the breasts, all of these... We have to have separate for breeding purposes. So I think that's part of where some of the difficulty lies in making something that we can have them separate but close by. So we're currently working on a solution for that.
Yeah, because we're going to try to do dark Cornish with white Plymouth Rocks.
Which is what our original plan had been for our own version of Cornish crosses, since it was impossible to find white Cornish anywhere.
Right, and then now we think we have white Cornish. We have a lead on it. So if that pans out, we're going to do white Cornish with white Plymouth Rock as well.
And can we pause there? Because we've been talking about this a little bit on our own. But since the predator attack, we only have 8 white rocks left.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they had been hit the hardest with the predator attacks. So we're going to need to get more
white rocks.
So we're going to have to order those from a hatchery. And I think I'm just, like, I know we need them, but I'm just stuck on when to get them. Like, are we going to need to get them, like, now?
Like, you probably order them whenever. Like, just make sure.
I know you keep saying whenever, but like, we need a deadline because whenever means nothing to me. So like,
I mean, like, once this new batch of 80 meat chicks leaves the brooder, then at that point I don't care how many chicks we get because it'll be less than 80.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and like, we don't want to get too far into the winter.
Nope.
But
yeah,
like,
so probably sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to decide if we want any more laying hens, which I know sounds crazy, but we had 3 that were eaten, so we have 3 less than I had expected.
Right, but those 3 weren't part of the, like, laying community yet.
They were, but they were going to
be. They were
on
the way.
That's what I had banked on.
Yeah.
And then the Moran turnout didn't go well, but my problem... So in my perfect world, I think I would want to add another Moran and another Welsh Summer and another Leghorn. But
right.
I think that's probably too much, I guess. But I can't figure out right now if the black copper Moran that we have that we hatched out from the expensive eggs, I can't tell if it's a hen or a rooster yet.
Yeah, me either.
I'm almost leaning more toward hen now. Which would kind of, I mean, I guess it wouldn't matter, but then I wouldn't really need another Black Copper Moran, but then I feel like we're going to have to order the chicks, like, now so they don't get sold out. So, it's a whole thing. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do, but I think within the next, I'm going to probably have to
really
put...
If you really want a Leghorn, I mean, we can do a Leghorn batch that we hatch ourselves, and we can sell a bunch of them.
Yeah, if we're willing to do that.
If we're willing to do that, but then... Knowing our luck, we would
sometimes
sell...
Just the market for chicks is hit or miss sometimes. Like,
probably be a miss right now.
Yeah.
As far as market goes.
Yeah.
But then it's like, we got to calculate how much it, you know, would cost to have a Leghorn in that order, you know?
What do you mean in that order?
Well, we ordered chicks.
Oh, in that order. Yeah, I mean, chicks. It would be like $3.
But then, if they even have it. I don't know. What exactly is it that makes you want more Leghorns?
Because I feel like now, aesthetically, we need more white eggs. And they are good layers in the winter. But we probably don't, like... I probably don't need another, well, summer. I don't know. It's hard. Because, like, I keep trying to get, like, my perfect aesthetic chicken egg situation, and it's just like always constantly like a little bit out of my reach, I feel like.
Yeah, plus if we get more, I mean, the thing is that all of our like Plymouth Rocks,
yeah,
we don't know what the future holds as far as the sale of their eggs.
Yeah,
like we don't know. So if the experiment's a success, I know at least one customer that I'll have for meat chickens.
Yeah,
that we would just, you know, sell to them.
Yeah.
But then what is the market going to be like after? I mean, that could be a big thing that we can really market. Locally source meat chicks.
Yeah.
For your farm.
Yeah.
So you want to do Cornish crosses and you want to stay local. We could literally tap into like anybody who sells any chickens anywhere in our area. And
but like
hey,
we can't, I feel like we can only have one customer because they're going
to
want a huge volume. And I mean, we're not going
to have
like 10,000.
We'll have to cap it. We'll have to say we can only support orders of 80 a week or whatever, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or like we'll put 80 eggs in there and however many we get back out.
Which is, as a consumer, you would feel like that would be hard because like I wouldn't want to, I don't know. I worry about that aspect of selling them to other people. There's just so much up in the air.
There is, but that's the difference between us and the big commercial market, is
right.
That we still have the nature issues.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know what I mean? Just like with our meat birds this week, mm-hmm. we pushed them back.
Yeah.
Like, grocery stores don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just shows people to me like that there's still like an element of the fact that these are living creatures, they're not mm-hmm. machines,
right?
And it's not always going to be, you know, things
right.
happen.
Yeah, true.
Because otherwise you're going to get a bunch of brown eggs, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
lots of brown eggs from them, and then we'll get cream eggs from the breasts.
Yeah, but I feel like we'll never really have breast eggs.
I feel like we will.
You think?
Maybe not that many. Well, we're going
well,
to have
to have... Well, not next year.
We're going to have a decent amount of hens.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that had been... So, I had been looking on the hatchery websites because the big hatchery, they have breast chickens that you can buy. They're just not available right this moment. So, I had been hoping... And we have a credit because they gave us the wrong chicken one time. So... My original plan had been to get the White Rocks from them in the spring and add some breasts to kind of hurry up our breast experiment. Because I feel that experiment's going to take a really long time.
That's not really an experiment. That's just
Well, yeah, but that project.
We have what we need for them already.
Yeah.
And we know what we're going to get.
That project, yeah. I mean, we just have one male and one female. So we're starting totally from the ground up, like building the flock before we can even really... test taste it, because I'm excited to taste what they're like I don't want to put all this time and energy into doing it and then it not even be that good.
Yeah,
so like I had been hoping to get more just to kind of expedite it and make sure that it's even worth it, but then the catch with that is we would be waiting for the White Rocks until the spring, and then that would be an even more delay on the other things that we're doing. Yeah, so there's just no perfect situation. And, like, the reason why we can't do both, like, do the White Rocks now and then the breasts later, is because there are minimum chick orders. Like, on the Big Hatchery, I think it's, like, what is it, like?
25.
I think it's less than 25, but it is a crap ton of chickens. So we can't. We have to meet a minimum order, and that's why we can't split them up. So,
yeah,
that's one thing that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my vote is to get more Plymouth Rocks now.
Yeah,
it's not a huge rush because they're not gonna be ready until next year anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't really too concerned about getting more breast chickens. I just figured we would do it ourselves, but
yeah,
which. Do you think that they'll lay eggs this year?
I have no idea. I thought the White Rocks would be laying by now.
Yeah, I feel like they could start laying, like, any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any day. And so then we'll have to start eating them personally, the eggs,
yeah,
to see if they're fertilized or not. And if we notice that they're fertilized, then...
Are we going to do a batch? I guess we haven't talked about that. Are we going to try a batch?
We could... But, yeah, I don't know, or just, it wouldn't be a big batch.
Yeah, it would just be, because we're, the whole point, which I know we've said a million times, but maybe for new people, is, like, Cornish crosses are a cross between, like, Cornish birds and white Plymouth Rocks, and they are supposed to, like, grow really fast and be really big, so we want to make our own, and there's more that goes into it than just... strictly crossing them, so we're gonna try it and see what we get and just kind of like experiment with the closest that we can get to a real Cornish cross. So I mean, if we just did a couple of them, then we might get an idea of what to expect,
right? But then also, it would be, we'd be getting later in the season,
yeah,
which the temperature can,
yeah,
definitely affect their growth,
yeah. So. I mean, yeah, it just depends on when they lay. It should kind of technically be any time now, and they look ready, like you can tell when they're. For the females, even though they have, like, a lighter comb and, like, a smaller comb, it gets redder when they mature and they're, like, about to lay eggs. So, and that's why I'm not sure about the breast, because her comb is still completely pale. Like, not even really any color to it.
Yeah.
So, once that gets a little darker. Yeah, once that gets a little darker, I think she'll start, yeah, I don't know, just a lot.
She still seems very small.
So. Yeah, she does. But the rooster seems small, too, like, physically.
Yeah. And then another thing, you know, like, when we try to do that experiment so quickly, like, those birds will have just started laying eggs. The eggs are going to be small. The chicks that are born are
going to be very
small.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
So it might be something that we just have to wait until the spring.
Yeah.
So then that'll be very annoying because it'll be like, I'll have to still order meat chicks from a hatchery.
Yeah.
But then also trying the experiment. We're going to have so many birds. You thought we had a lot of birds this year?
God.
Wait till next year. And I mean, it's fine to have too many birds. It will sell a bunch of them, I'm sure.
But I feel like the labor aspect of it, like making sure it's not too much on you. Like maybe we can cut down the orders from like 80 to 60 since we don't have to worry about
work. It's still be the same amount of work.
I mean, yeah, total. But now, if we don't, then it'll be exponentially more. You know
could
what I
be.
Mean?
Well,
I would rather keep it.
We can always cancel an order.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope so. If not, we'll do a fire sale on chicken. I don't know. Sell chicks then. I see people do that all the time. They just sell meat chicks.
Yeah.
So it's definitely possible.
Okay.
We'll find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we're chugging along. End of summer is coming near. School is going to be starting. Crazy.
I know. I can't.
Next month will be really busy for you.
Thinking about how the winter is and, like, not going to have a lot of light. And so it's going to be really important, like, on my weekends to, well, I guess really just, like, Sunday morning is going to end up being such a, like, heavy farm chore time. Because I'll have to get my fencing up to get me through the week, you know, because you might have to do some of it. Or,
yeah, yeah.
But the perks for the wintertime is that there won't be any meat birds, so that labor is gone.
Yeah.
The cows will be gone after Columbus
That's
Day.
That's true, yeah.
So it'll just be rotating sheep around.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
And then feeding pigs.
Yeah.
But the whole pig thing, I think, would be a lot easier than you think.
I hope so.
Because I'm just going to have big water tanks back there and, like, fill up their water with the big water tank right there.
Yeah, and definitely. And feed them
X amount of food.
If we had...
They should all come running.
If we had an infinite amount of money, I would love to put, like a water catchment thing back there with a filter, and like I that would be so amazing.
But you can't catch water on back there though. There's gonna be trees.
Right, but it would be a whole thing. Like, it's not realistic right now for our budget. But yeah, like having an area that like the, because I don't know, I can't explain it in a very good way, but I've seen different things that you can do.
Like a tarp canopy kind of thing, probably.
Kinda, yeah. Because it will be a pain filling it up whenever you need to do that.
But. Oh, yeah, well, you put a big giant tank back there, and if you have enough hose to stretch it there, then say you need to fill it up with water every 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not that bad. Stretching those out there and fill it all the way up.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more on the next podcast, I'm sure, as we start to get into the whole planning for the pigs.
Yeah, well, and now at the rate we do podcasts, maybe the next one, it'll be really close to being time to get them.
It'll be, it's not going to be LA. But you never know.
Man. All right, well, I guess we will sign off for now. Our kids are crying again, so
one of them
wish
is.
Us luck.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.